Vice Chairman of the Quincy School Committee, Anthony Andronico, joining us for our weekly update now on the school committee meetings that are happening through the end of the year. Remote Zoom meetings, I should mention. Anthony, good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Joe. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Oh, this is great. I really appreciate it also. And I've got some great feedback from some of our viewers who've said they appreciate the updates as well, because it's kind of a new source of information for us here at QATV. So let's continue it in the future, even when we can get together in person.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I think there are a lot of things that will continue, you know, as we move forward. One of which I think will be the live stream broadcast on the QATV website of school committee meeting. So those that don't have cable can still access it. So thanks to you and QATV for doing that for us as well.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. We're in the 21st century now. It just took us 20 years to get there, but you know, better late than never. let's dive right into the meat of things. Graduations, any new developments for high school graduations this year?
Yeah, so we're inching closer and closer to figuring out exactly what we're going to be doing. But Superintendent DeCristofaro and Mayor Cook laid out a few items regarding celebrations and you know, notable events for our seniors. And I've got the list in front of me. I mean, obviously you have senior sign out on May 28th and 29th. We have some recognition ceremonies, you know, for scholarships and awards. North Quincy High School is June 5th, Quincy High School June 2nd, and in Quincy High School June 4th. North is doing a combined scholarship and awards where Quincy High is breaking them out into two separate events for folks. And then, you know, we'll be airing the Class of 2020 celebratory videos for each of the high schools on June 8th and June 9th at 6 p.m. On Quincy Access Television, and more information will be forthcoming about that. We've got the official graduation proclamation that will need to be made by Dr. DeCristofaro on June 10th, and that'll be at the school committee meeting for those that are interested. And then we're still working out the in-person graduation date. Mayor Koch did say, you know, they were working through the different ways that you can socially distance. There are at Veterans Stadium for a ceremony. There are a few challenges. I know we talked about, you know, having two tickets per student. But at the same time, you know, North Quincy High is 280 students, where Quincy High is 380. So adding 300 more people is maybe a difficult challenge. We're looking at getting more bleachers and putting them on one end zone to maintain social distancing. And the mayor also noted that next week's meeting, which would be the 27th, that he'll lay out a potential plan for that. So instead of saying TBD or yeah, I have a good idea, we'll have a more concrete plan where we can say, this is the date we're talking about, this is how it'll be set up, you know, what are your thoughts? We can actually start getting substantive feedback instead of just hearsay. And I think people are ready for some hard information here, to say the least. And I also wanted to give a shout out to our North Quincy High and Quincy High parents. You know, our NQHS parents are hosting a senior stay-in virtual event on the 29th with a DJ, games, and prizes. They're doing something special for their kids, and I really appreciate the work they're doing. And Quincy High parents put together an Adopt-a-Senior program, which is what a lot of other communities are doing, where members can contribute to a fund to provide each senior with a summer survival kit. So things like, you know, gift cards or Quincy High memorabilia or beach items, because beaches are opening actually on Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just anything we can really do to provide a sense of normalcy and still have the celebrations that make senior year so special for students is what we're looking at.
Great. And how can folks get information about all these events you've talked about, Anthony?
Yeah, so usually the best way is to reach out to your school. You know, I would suggest, you know, Principal Tagg, Principal Shaw is the best way for school-specific information. And the info regarding PTO events, I would reach out to your local PTO from North Quincy High and Quincy High as well. But as we move along, you know, the Quincy Public Schools website, quincypublicschools.com, We'll continue to post informational updates regarding events for seniors, and we'll post those updates to the Facebook page as well.
Okay. And just to clarify, the scholarship and the award ceremonies you mentioned, those are virtual, correct?
Yes. Yep. Those are virtual, you know, with a PowerPoint and all.
Yep.
Some pre-recorded, some live. So it is just, it's a combination of the two.
Okay. And our seniors, do you advise them to, you know, get their caps and gowns? I mean, what's going to happen with that?
Yeah. So we had even talked about, you know, when would we give caps and gowns? I think that is mostly for the in-person graduation ceremony. And the administration is still talking through that. Okay. I do know that the pamphlets that you get when you walk in, those are printed and those are going to go out to families. They will say June 8th and June 9th on them respectively. So even the standard materials that you would get when you graduate are in the works. Some are closer to being finalized and actually given out than others. Okay. That's something that we've talked about at school committee level as well.
Okay. And will the actual diplomas be mailed out, or are those going to be held for the in-person ceremony?
Well, that sort of depends. As students will have graduated, but I mean, there is something very special about being handed your diploma in person. It's a really great moment, and you know that I think is the preference of nearly everybody than to get it mailed to you. So really, it'll depend on if we're able to follow through on an in-person event or not. And again, I hope we'll lay out that plan at our meeting on the 27th.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to that. Of course, the other big item for the schools is the search for a new superintendent. Can you bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, sure. So I just want to let folks know as well that the school committee extended an offer, an official offer to the deputy superintendent, Kevin Mulvey, to be our interim superintendent beginning in mid-June. So we'll wait to hear back on his response to our contract offer. You know, I think we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. So we did transition and start talking about the overall search process and what that will look like. And I think for the first time last night, we made some significant headway in our process and laying out a plan. So we approved a leadership profile survey that will go out to the community. And when I say the community, I mean parents or guardians of QPS students, our teachers, administrators, staff, our students, and Quincy residents without children in Quincy Public Schools. And really, the idea of a leadership profile is to get feedback on where you see the district right now, what do you identify as the main challenges moving forward for a new superintendent, what do you think are the strengths, what are some things you want them to preserve and keep, and beyond that, you know, what skills and what sort of background are you looking for in next superintendent? So it's a 7-question survey. Some of it is multiple choice and checkbox. There's a ranking scale of 1 to 5 on skills that people would find most valuable or categories that you find more important to you. You know, things like, you know, collective bargaining and employment policy, technology and 21st century skills, you know, district goal setting, special education services, student to teacher ratio, things like that for the categories that are important to you. And then with skills and qualities, I'm just naming a couple of them. There are 20 to 25 of these listed for those sections, but you know, things like visible throughout the district and actively engaged in community life, ability to provide transparent communication, experience in curriculum development, ability to work cooperatively with the school committee, city officials, and the different departments. So those are only a couple, and I listed them only because those are the ones in front of me that I was able to read, not because I find them to be more important or what have you. So I just wanted to give folks a little taste of what's in that, and we're working with the Mass Association of School Committees to get that survey link up and blast it out on Monday for everyone to get the ball rolling. And then beyond that, we're working with the Mass Association of School Committees to schedule focus groups for those different stakeholders to really drill down virtual focus groups to drill down and figure out, you know, the items that can't be reflected in an online survey. You know, sometimes all it takes to get a better understanding of where people are coming from and what they're looking for is a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of developing that profile. So there was movement on that end. And we also put together the makeup of a search committee for the superintendent. And as a reminder of what the superintendent search committee is responsible for, essentially they take the job applications and they screen out those that they don't believe should even be interviewed within the search committee. And after a certain point in time, they schedule interviews with candidates. And setting up a search committee allows candidates to apply without their names becoming public at that point in time. It provides a certain level of privacy, I think, for candidates, because there might be a superintendent at a neighboring community that applies for our job. And if their name were to come out publicly before they were named a finalist, that could cause some significant issues for them. So we want people to feel comfortable applying for the position. So the search committee will be made of 13 members. It'll be 3 school committee members, 3 teachers, 1 from each level, 1 person from the Quincy Parent Advisory Council to Special Education, 1 parent from the citywide PTO, 1 parent from the English Language Learner PTO, a principal, a superintendent's leadership team member, a member from the nonprofit and business community within Quincy, and 1 student. So those are the 13 members, and Mayor Koch, who is the chairman of the committee, will be appointing the members. And just so we're clear, though, when we say, you know, 1 member from, let's say, the Quincy Parent Advisory Council to Special Ed, we'll extend the offer to that organization, and that organization will then send a member. It won't be for that org to send applications and then for us and Mayor Koch to decide. I think we leave it up to those organizations, and they can send an individual that they feel comfortable with. Personally, I think that's the best way to do it, and I think it gives those organizations some more control, and it provides a certain level of accountability and transparency as well.
Okay, so the committee then is responsible for kind of calling the candidate pool. Where does the pool come from? How does that get to you?
Right. So after we decide on a job description, which I'm hoping we'll be able to do at our next meeting on the 27th, okay. Did talk about, similar to the leadership profile survey, sending around some other examples within the last few years for Massachusetts, and then coming up with a draft to approve. Mayor Koch has been kind enough to at least submit a formal draft to the rest of us, so we sort of have a working document and baseline at the very least on where to start, and it provides us a chance to say, well, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, and make some updates to it and get it right for us. Mm-hmm. And after we decide on a job description, we'll work with MASC to post it on their website, mm-hmm. to post it on the Mass Association of School Superintendents and the National Superintendent Organization as well. And that's thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Okay.
The executive director of MASC did say he would expect us to get 30 to 35 applications, you know, 20 of which would be serious applications. So the search committee is going to have their work cut out for them.
Sounds like it, yeah.
The school committee will give them essentially guidelines to work with to say, we want X number of finalists to submit to us. So usually the search committee will interview most likely 15 to 20, you know, candidates that submit, and then they'll whittle it down for us depending on how many finalists we've requested.
Okay.
And they'll give us the candidates, their names become public, and then all interviews from there on out are done by the school committee, and they're done in public. Oh. So everyone can see it. So that's sort of how it works. And we're finally making some tangible progress, and I'm pretty excited about the work that we've done and the work that's ahead of us too.
Yeah, it's, of course, everything we're talking about is going to be an additional challenge because it's all done remotely, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So it'll all be done over Zoom or Google Meet or, you know, Microsoft Teams. There's so many of them out there. But, you know, we want to make people feel comfortable. At the same time, the advantage is it might help with flexibility of scheduling. Mm-hmm. With everyone not running around for morning and evening commutes and everything else that comes along with normal everyday life.
Right.
It does also provide the opportunity, I think, for people to expand their schedules and connect at more times. So there are pluses and minuses mm-hmm. to everything, but I'm going to go ahead and view to look this at one of the very few positives this situation has presented to us.
Sure. Is there, you know, an overall time frame for this process, Anthony?
So my understanding, we're taking this one step at a time. We did talk about an overall timeline with Glenn Kuchar, the executive director of MASC. And essentially, we're looking to get this moving forward and wrapped up as soon as we can. So, I mean, the survey is going to go out next week. Focus groups will begin in 2 weeks. A job description will be hopefully approved next week. And then really from there, you're talking about fielding candidates and setting up an initial meeting with the search committee. So I think a lot's going to happen within the next 2 weeks where we can get to a point and really pinpoint where we're at in the process and how long each of those items will take. Really, after we post the job description and the search committee is set up, they'll be able to start interviews with folks. But this is going to be a process throughout the summer. And ideal world, I know it's an aggressive timeline, but ideally we'd like to have it wrapped up before the new school year, because there's a lot of planning involved for reopening.
Right.
And it'll be important for the next superintendent, whoever it is, to be prepared for that. So it's certainly a tall task, but we have a lot of work to do, and we have to do it quickly and efficiently. So,
yeah. Speaking of reopening, was there any discussion last night about that?
No, we still hold that off. I know the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education still hasn't reviewed their guidelines. To provide a more serious update, I would say. But at the same time, I know Governor Baker rolled out the four different phases of reopening and what those are going to look like. He did say at a minimum, each phase would be 3 weeks,
right,
and could be adjusted depending on public health data. So we're still looking for more substantive guidance from the state regarding a reopening plan and what that should look like. For the most part, the Baker administration has been very responsive to our inquiries and I think has done a good job with keeping us afloat of the latest and you know, making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to from a public health standpoint.
Good. Sticking with the state level, what can you tell us about the Student Opportunity Act?
Yep. So I know our last conversation, it was still, I believe, a little up in the air. You know, are they extending the deadline? Are they not extending the deadline? What's happening with this money? It's $6.5 million would be for Quincy if it was fully funded. And I don't know if you know this, but it's budget season, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what our budget is going to look like. Mm-hmm. So it's a tricky situation, I think, for everyone involved. But the state did extend the deadline to submit Student Opportunity Act plans to, I believe it's June 19th from May 18th, and prior to that, April 1st.
Right.
But essentially, these plans are about addressing the achievement gap between high needs students and non-high needs students. And that plan does require input from the public on that. And a while back when all these events were canceled, one of the events that was canceled was our setup to get public feedback through a public forum. So we've still had a little difficulty, I think, in getting that set up and really getting guidance from the state as far as, is this going to be funded or not? And I know they're doing the best they can up there, to figure out what their budget's going to look like. They're talking about going month to month,
yep,
and moving from there on out. But as far as Quincy is concerned, we did talk it over at our meeting, and we said we were going to wait another week to see if they provide any more guidance as far as this is concerned, because the last thing we really want to do is move forward with a plan, get public input, adjust our plan, and then have it not be funded or have us be told you have to readjust, you have to cut some things, or it'll be partially funded. Really all we want for the Quincy School Committee wants is to be able to get proper public input at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And it's really critical that people know what we're talking about. It's critical that people feel like they're heard. At the same time, we don't want to have to go back to them and say, hey, remember when you gave us all that great feedback? It doesn't matter anymore. Or we had to make some, you know, adjustments, and the item that you had talked about is no longer relevant.
Right.
It's a difficult situation. And you know, I certainly don't envy the position some of them are in. And on that note, when we're talking about budgets and things like that, the mayor did present his sort of overall budget level on Monday to the city council. Yep. Called for a roughly 1% increase to the Quincy Public Schools budget. Right. Essentially, no new positions, everyone that we have staffed, and the only increase or reason for an increase is for standard step increases and longevity increases for our teachers that are written into their contract. So we didn't get into a breakdown of how we would spend that money at our last meeting. Okay. But the mayor does seem to be committed to presenting a more formal plan at a budget subcommittee meeting, of which I'm the chair, next week as well. So there's a lot going on, not only this week, but next week too. So we'll still have a lot to catch up on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I look forward to that. And I know, you know, in speaking with Representative Tacky Chan, even he can't, you know, commit one way or the other right now, because as you said, they just don't know. They're going, you know, month to month and waiting for the revenue figures to come in.
Right. I mean, it's when we say it's an unprecedented situation, we mean it. And this economic downturn is nothing like the 2008 financial crash and the fallout from there on out. You know, we don't even know how the economy will rebound, what that rebound will look like, how long it will take. So there are just so many unknowns. But what I can say is everyone I know is hoping for a vaccine and hoping that researchers are working around the clock to make sure that we can return to public life. So I know it's not an easy job, and it's not an easy ask either.
For folks who have questions, Anthony, or want to, I should ask you first if there's anything else that we should add today.
No, you got it all. You stayed to the agenda and followed everything. You know, you always do a great job. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Well, I think it's important, you know, the folks know what's going on, and make it clear as possible, and then give them an opportunity to offer their input too. So how could they do that?
Yep. So you can reach me anytime at anthonyandronico@quincypublicschools.com. That's my email address. And of course, you could always visit quincypublicschools.com to find out the latest information from the district. And of course, find the email addresses for my colleagues as well. Mm-hmm. The format for those email addresses, just first name, last name, @quincypublicschools.com for anyone that's curious. But we're always here to listen. We're here to advocate. We're here to make sure that you're getting the services that you're entitled to from Quincy Public Schools. That's our job, and we're here if you need anything.
Yeah, and I'd encourage folks, too, to follow the Quincy Public Schools social media as well. I know that there are additions to that on a frequent basis as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime we post an update to the website, Laura's fantastic about posting those updates to Facebook as well. So hats off to her. I know she does a great job with it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Anthony. Great to see you.
Thank you. Looking forward to next week.
Okay. Take care.